Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary and Congregation of Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is January 23, 2023. ARSAR 2, 2026. We will start our first service today for the sermon. Work for the night is coming.
Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours. Look for the day is sparkling, work mid springing flowers. Work for the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Look for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the Sunday noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Yes, come sure and soon. Give every flying matter something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man's work no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset star. All the bright tents are glowing. Work for daylight flies. Work till the last in faded to shine no more. Work for the night is darkening when man work is old.
Our study taken from Timely Greetings, Bhavitti Hall, Volume 1, Number 52, entitled, Five Men Slay After One Sets a Mark, Ezekiel 9. This is a student of the 144th Hour. This address is given in August of 1947, Bhavitti Hall. The subject of our study this afternoon is found in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. I shall begin with Ezekiel 9, 1 to 6. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with a linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Yahweh of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was unto the threshold of the house. And he called unto the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of the Yerushalayim, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Note that the command of Yahweh, the angels, and the charge are to slay the sinners in Jerusalem, in the church, not in the world. Only the abomination, hating ones, those who receive the mark for the sign and cry against the wrongs are to be left. For the day Ezekiel had this vision in Babylon, Jerusalem had already been in the captivity and emptied of his people. For years, see Ezekiel 1:1 and 8:7. No such a purification or cleansing as here described ever took place in the Ezekiel's day or in the annals of the church since his day. It is therefore certain that the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. For the inspiration in our day, moreover, puts this foreseen and cleansing still in the future and makes this explanation. For the class who do not feel grieved over their own spiritual declension, nor mourn over the sins of others, will be left without the seal of Yahweh. For the Yahweh's commission, his messengers, the men with the slaughtering weapons in their hands. Go ye up to him to the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. That was your leaders, your ministers. Here we see that the church, the Yahweh's sanctuary, in our case, that would have been Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, because that's the first congregation of the Adventist Church, third feeding pasture. That was when the Judgment of the Living started in 2002. That was the first one that was judged. Brother Johnson was the ancient man before the house, the oldest and the one in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, SDA. Here we see that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Yahweh Sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of the Yahweh. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and he is stood as the guardians of the spiritual interest of the people, says the Spirit of Yahweh, betrayed their trust, testimonies of church, volume 5, page 211. For the enemies of the Yahweh, you know, have taken possession of the churches. Okay, so those Catholic Jesuits filtrated the Adventist Church, took over the churches all over the world. As soon as the tables will be turned and the servants of the devil will be no more, they will fall and not be found. For the people, you know, are deceived by the ancient men who have betrayed their trust. You well know that the prophets, the apostles, Yeshua, and the reformers were all in their time railed against and taunted as offshoots. But we thank Yahweh as the offshoots and the truth, not the dead tops, triumphed. They, the ancient men, had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestation of the Yahweh's power as in the former days. Testimony, volume 5, page 211. It's not this now the position of the ancient men. Vitalis referring to the ministers of the General Conference, starting with the president. Are they not now crying peace and safety? That it is not to take place in the church? That this message is a false alarm? What does it take to awaken a dreaming sleeper? They are dreaming that times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say the Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. For the Yahweh will not slay his people. The church is his most precious object on earth, they say. Of course, the church is his most precious object on earth. And that is just exactly why he is to cleanse it. That is why he is to slay the wicked in the midst of her and seal, preserve the penitent so that he may have a church clean without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. Thus peace and safety is the cry for a man who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Yahweh's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men and maidens and little children all perish together. Testimony 5:2-11. Continuing further, the Spirit of the Yahweh asked, who are standing in the council of the Yahweh at this time? This is those who virtually excuse wrongs among the professed people of the Yahweh, and who murmur in their hearts, if not openly, against those who would reprove sin. This is those who take their stand against them, and in the synchronized, it's those who commit wrong. No, indeed, unless they repent and leave the work of the Satan and the oppression of those who have the burden of the work, and in the holding up the hands of the sinners in Zion, they will never receive the mark of Yahweh's seal and approval. They will fall in the general destruction of the wicked, represented by the work of the five men bearing slaughter weapons. Mark this point with the care. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in linen, are those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Their love for the purity and the honor and glory of Yahweh is such, and they have so clear a view of the exceeding sinfulness of sin that they are represented as being in agony, even sighing and crying. Read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. Then says the Spirit, but the general slaughter of all those who do not thus see the wide contrast between sin and righteousness, and who do not feel as though they who stand in the council of Yahweh and receive the mark is described in the order unto the five men with the slaughter weapons. Go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is with the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Testimony, Volume 3, page 267. Here are shown two classes in the church, the faithful and the unfaithful. Those who view sin as sin and those who view it as fun. Also, it is seen that the church has a closing work, a work that must be done especially for her, not for the world. In addition, it reveals that the closing work for the church is a sin of the 144,000, that they therefore are the ones who will feel most deeply the wrongs among Yahweh's professed people. Ezekiel 9:7-11, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the seventh day of a city, and it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yahweh, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel and thy pouring out of thy fury upon the Jerusalem? And then said he unto me, for the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Yeshua hath forsaken the earth, and the Yeshua seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense their way upon their head, and behold, the man clothed with the linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. When is this separation of the wicked from among the righteous to take place? For the Yeshua places it in the end of the world, says he. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first tares and the blind, no, the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down, and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. Matthew 13:30-48. As tares they are burned, as bad fish they are cast out. This is the way in which the kingdom comes, says the Yeshua. This is the way that the kingdom comes now, here on earth. And what is the harvest, if not the judgment for the living? The work which separates the one from the other. The true people of Yahweh, says the inspiration, who have the spirit of the work of the Yeshua and the salvation of the souls at heart, all will view sin and its real sinful character. They will also be on the right sides of the faithful, and plain dealing with the sins which easily beset the people of Yahweh, especially in the closing work for the church in the seed and time of the 144,000. 44,000 who are to stand without the fault before the throne of Yahweh, will they feel most deeply the wrongs of Yahweh's professed people? This is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work with the figure of the man each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. Testimony, Volume 3, page 266. On which side do you stand? Question mark. Now the subject of the 144,000 stands out brighter than ever before. How now you can clearly see that these who escaped the slaughter foreseen in the Ezekiel 9 are the 144,000 as the future servants of Yahweh as the first fruits of the harvest, resulting from the cleansing of the sanctuary church, the work of the investigative judgment of the living, the work and this truth, therefore, are the most important for the day and should wholeheartedly be heeded if one expects to receive the mark and the seal and escape the slaughter. While the great and dreadful day of Yahshua on the great to sigh and cry for the abomination and the Seventh Day Adventist Church would mean our eternal loss. We dare not allow anything to divert our attention from this great and glorious work for the saints and most dreadful and inglorious for the sinners. For this work must engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Early Volumes 118. Nothing should be allowed to interfere with your eternal welfare. No, not for a moment. For the day is far spent. Friends, relatives, husbands, you are to lose them with yourself if this truth fails to convince you and them. But the promise for the faithful is, for your shame you shall have double, and for the confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them. Isaiah 61:7. Do you, brother or sister, actually comprehend, actually realize that the crisis as outlined here? Do you see the prediction that the city of the message is to be resisted by those who foster the abomination? Are you with them? I hope not. Is there then any question that if the brethren are left ignorant of this cleansing work that the Yahweh is about to do among the people, his people? I say, if they be left ignorant of it, it will soon turn into destruction. So he says, I hope not. Is there then any question that if the brethren are left ignorant of this closing work that Yahweh is about to do among his people? I say, if they be left ignorant of it, will they not fall in the general destruction of the wicked, represented by the work of the five men bearing slaughter weapons? Obviously, all the sinners in the church will perish. Obviously, all the sinners in the church will perish. It says, in this slaughter, of the wicked, be they men, women, or children, parents who continue to serve the devil but have their little ones with them, and the hell and parents who break away from the abominations will have their little ones, will have their little ones with them in the kingdom. That kingdom. Where do you stand? Are you with those who have the burden of this work, or are you against them? This you see, and is the decisive hour for you, for me. Mark this point with a care. Counsel the spirit of the other. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in the living, although they sigh and that cry for all the abominations all be done in the church. For their love for the purity and the honor and glory of the Yahweh is such, and they have so clear a view of their enemy, sinfulness of sin, that they are represented as being in the agony, even as a sign, even sign and crimes. Read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, Testimony, Volume 3, page 267. Who are the true Adventists at this crucial moment? Those who resist the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or those who put their heart and soul into it? Let us face the situation honestly and sincerely. Let us anoint our eyes with the heavenly eyesight that we might see and know what the truth is. Only those who repent and promote the message of the hour rather than fight against it will stand with the one Lamb on the Mount Zion. Let me read again. And the time which the when his mouth shall go forth in the judgment, these humble, devoted followers of the Yahshua will be distinguished from the rest of the world. But their anguish, which is expressed in the lamentation and reproofs and warnings, while others try to throw a cloak over the existing evil and excuse the great wickedness everywhere prevalent, those who have a zeal for the Yahweh's honor and a love for the soul will not hold their peace. For the obtaining favor of any, their righteousness, their righteous souls are vexed day by day with the unholy works and conversation of the unrighteous. They are powerless to stop the rushing torrents of the iniquity. But hence, they are filled with the grief and alarm. They for they mourn before Yahweh to see religion dispersed in the very homes of those who have had great life. They lament and afflict their souls because pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. It says, the spirit of the Yahweh, which promotes the reproof, is trampled under the foot, while the servants of the Satan triumph. Testimony Volume 5, page 210 to 11. No longer, Sir Satan, no longer fight Yahweh's truth against your own interest. For the spirit of the prophecy in these lines has made it as plain as it can be made, that when the sitting of the message is brought unto the attention of the people, the servants of the devil will temporarily triumph, while the Yahweh's servants and his chiefs for a time will be trampled under the foot by those who control the churches. For the evil work you are all well aware is already in the progress. For the mainstream brethren are already fighting the message instead of teaching it. For the pulpits are occupied by men who, Sabbath after Sabbath, stage that trade after or tirade after tirade against the truth. For the truth of the judgment for the living, as the gospel of the prophet in the chapter 66 was also given light on this subject, we shall turn unto it now. Isaiah 66:15-17-19. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, for the rending of his anger with fury, and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua pierce all flesh. And the slain of the Yahshua shall be many, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden, and the places of the worship behind one tree. Okay. Following a leader in the midst, eating swan's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Yahshua. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow unto Tubal. And even unto the isles that far off, that have not drawn, heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Here it is reiterated that the slaying takes place in the Seventh-day Adventist Church among those who are well acquainted with the things of the Yahweh, so much so that those who escape are sent for the return of his glory and his fame among the Gentiles. Moreover, the very fact that the Gentiles are not slain, but are to be taught of Yahweh after slaying takes place, positively shows that the slaying takes place in the church only and before probation purposes for the Gentiles, for the repeating those who escape the slaying are sent for the preaching of the salvation of the plan of, for the teaching preaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua unto the Gentile. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, the whole chapter. Isaiah 6:20. And they, the escaped ones, says the scripture, shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift feet unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. since the 144,000 are the first fruits, and also the servants of Yahweh, and are of both the antitypical house of Judah and of Israel, they must be the escaped and sent ones, those whom they bring into the house of the Yahweh out of all nations. Revelation 7:9 must therefore be the second fruits, for the former are the first fruits, 144,000 from the Seventh Day Adventist Church, and the latter as the second fruits from the Gentiles. See Revelation 7:2-9. In order to hush the truth, and the ancients and their wickedness and ignorance now teach the laity that the subject of 144,000 is a mute question rather than revealed truth. For the devil would have it thus, so that the people might fall under the slaughter weapons of the angel. What folly, and what a hold! For the devil has on the men that control the churches. Are they not deceiving the very elect? 144,000. This is truly the time for you to come unto the help of Yahweh against the mighty. If you are to receive Yahweh's mark of the approval, and if you are to escape the slaughter weapon of the angels, if you are to be left, if you are to be of the remnant, there has never been made so great an attempt for the awakening of any people in any age as the effort of today. Hundreds and thousands, yes, millions of booklets have been scattered throughout the denomination. These have been going now for over a decade. Truly, it can ever now be said of the Adventist Church, woe unto thee, Chorazin, Zina, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in the sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and the day of judgment than for thee. Matthew 11:21-24. And the devil today, you see, has the people deeper in the pit than he had them in the days of Yeshua or in the days of the Luther. But Yeshua's victory, though, and the victory of those who escape from the pit, shall be just that much more glorious. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yeshua, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:12. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, O Judah. Keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vow, for the wicked shall no longer pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. For the wicked and the church, you know, have finally come to their end. With which company do you stand? With those who chose that their close your eyes unto this truth, or with those who endeavor to bring it to the front? You judge your own case. Let's go now to Time of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 33. the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance. 1947, P.T. Harlock, March. This afternoon we are to study Isaiah chapters 31-32. In these chapters we shall see the cause of Zion's captivity by the Gentiles, the time limit, and it's here for Israel's deliverance. That's talking about our deliverance today, an atypical deliverance. When will the 144,000 be delivered out of the Adventist church? Isaiah 31:1-4. Woe to them that go down into Egypt for help, and stay on their horses and trust in the chariot, because they are many, and in their horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel. Now they seek the Yahweh, yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his word, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not Yahweh, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Yahshua shall stretch out his hand, that's the Son of Yahweh, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. For thus hath the Yahshua spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion going on the prey, when a multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yahshua of the host, there it is, he's the Son, he's the come down to fight for the Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. For what hill did we occupy? And that was the hill of Mount Gilead. That was the last hill that was occupied, and it turned into Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the 7th book, and the judgment of the living in 2002. Though the Yahshua permitted his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentile, this scripture shows that he will soon deliver this kingdom, this ancient kingdom. He's going to soon deliver this kingdom, because he's going to retrieve it a second time. Not only will he deliver his people and Mount Zion, but he will defend them also. Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds flying, so will the Yahshua of the host defend Yahushua. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Having now come to the time of their deliverance, the Yahshua is pleading with his people to turn unto him to reform. Okay, there's your reform. Isaiah 31:7. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for sin, for a sin. To turn unto him, he explains, is to cast away every idol. When such great revival and reformation takes place among Elohim's people, he continues, Isaiah 31:8-9, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over unto his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. That ensign is this here people that have overcome here in the house of David, and the 12 parabolic hour that we're in now, the judgment of the living. That's the parabolic hour of time. Said to Yeshua, whose fire is in the Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Judea, where all the leaders live and teach from. Judea is the tribe of David. Okay, because of the idolatry, the Assyrian was permitted to take Yahweh's ancient people and their present land, and certain it is that the Assyrian will control the land just so long as Yahweh's people continue in idolatry. That's why they're still there. But just as soon as all idols are cast aside, yes, as soon as a great revival and reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall, and Yahweh's people shall just as certainly return. For the Assyrian shall thus fall, not at the sword of a mighty man and not of a mean man, but through the voice of the Yahshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, Isaiah 30:31. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. This is Isaiah 32:1-8. And princesses shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken, for the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammer shall be ready to speak plainly. For the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity for the practicing of the hypocrisy, and for the utter error against the Yeshua, for the making empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. For the instruments also of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices for the destroying of the poor with the lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand, turning again unto his ancient people. Inspiration declared that though their kingdom was doomed to fail, yet one day a king shall reign in righteousness. This king is antitypical David, found there in Ezekiel 37. And princesses shall rule in judgment, that in that day a man shall be as an hiding place, as water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:2. That though the people were spiritually blind and could not see, yet there is a day coming when those who have eyes shall clearly see, and those who have ears shall plainly hear, that the heart of the rash shall then understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammer be ready to speak plainly, that the vile person shall then be recognized as vile, and the churl shall no more be called bountiful, that the vile persons and the hypocrites shall be known as those who speak error against the Yeshua and who endeavor for the cheating of the spiritually hungry and thirsty soul, that on the other hand, the churl will be seen to be those who devise wicked means by which to make the poor, even poor, Isaiah 32:7, Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you churlish daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall you be troubled, you churlish women, for the vintage shall fail. The gatherings shall not come. Tremble, you women that are at ease. Be troubled, you churlish one, strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tits, for the present fields, for the fruitful vine upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of the joy and the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and the towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of fly. For the woman, women here referred to are doubtless Ahola and Aholabah, Ezekiel 23, the figurative names of Judah and Israel. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear, Isaiah 32:15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Here we are told, that the people are to be among the Gentiles, and the land remain desolate until the Spirit be poured upon them from on high, then will they return. We have now already seen the reason for the dispersion, and that the pouring of the Spirit marks the people's deliverance. Yes, then no longer will their land be in the captivity. No longer will their houses be desolate. Even the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be accounted for a forest. There shall be then an abundant harvest of souls, Isaiah 33:16-20. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, and the assurance forever, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in the sure dwellings, and in the quiet resting places, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now what have we learned from these two chapters of Isaiah? Actually, we have had a summary of the subject which the previous chapters treated. Now even more vividly than before, we see that the ancient Israel's idolatry forced Yahweh to permit them to be ruled by the Syrians. Here is, however, well able to deliver them when his people hear his plea and lay aside their idols. Lay aside their idols. They got to get rid of them idols. When they turn again unto the Yeshua, when this great revival and reformation called for in this chapter is finally effected. Thus it is that though through the voice of the Yahshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which shall smote with a rod, Isaiah 30:31. Henceforth a king shall reign in the righteousness. Then the vile persons and hypocrites shall be treated as said. In that day shall there be a great and glorious harvest of the souls. Now that we have plainly seen the time, the need, and the deliverance, let us, brethren, sister, bring that day closer by the parting with all of our idols and turning our hearts fully and unreservedly unto our Yahweh. So that's the end of that time of reading, volume 1, number 33. And we got about 6 minutes left. It says, a spoiler, taken by the lame and the weak. That's one time of reading, number 34. March 29, 1947. And this subject is found in Isaiah 33. We shall begin our study with verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Taking into the consideration what follows in this chapter and in the next two chapters, for chapter 34 and 35 are a part of the subject that is in chapter 33. For it becomes clear that the one upon whom woe is pronounced is the Seventh-day Adventist Church preceding the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. The day in the which the sinners of Zion perish. That's Ezekiel 9. And that is Zion is the Adventist Church and the sinners are the terrors. And the 144,000 are separated from. For the day in which the repentant ones, 144,000, are given their reward, the day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Isaiah 34:8. For the Adventist Church is especially pointed out by the fact that unlike the Old Testament Church, she has been spoiling, but has not been a spoil. That she has been dealing treacherously, but she herself has not been dealt with. For the inspiration, however, goes on to forecast a reverse of this situation. For the Adventist Church shall be spoiled and dealt with treacherously. For his faithful ones in the midst of her, that's 144,000, however, shall find grace, for they plead. Isaiah 33:2. O Yahshua, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Thou their arm every morning and a salvation also in the time of trouble. Here we are. Salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's Hebrews chapter 10. We are reintroduced to the blood of the everlasting covenant that they came out of Egypt with 1500 B.C. with Moses. This verse shows that while the pronouncement of the woe, Isaiah 33:1, is being made, at the same time a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among Yahweh's truth-seeking people. They are praying not for themselves alone, but for their brethren also. They fully realize that they are approaching the time of the trouble. Well, we are already in the time of trouble. And this is what we're experiencing right here at our place. And their hope lies in the fact that they have waited for the Yahshua. Yahweh's power shall be felt throughout the earth. Earth and provinces of the United States. Isaiah 33:3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. For this verse reveals that when Yahweh manifests his power among his people, the world will feel the effects of it. Isaiah 33:4, and your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. for the spoils of which the church has acquired, he gathers as the gathering of the caterpillar. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 33:5, the Yahshua is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with the judgment and righteousness. With these things, when these things take place, then the Zion, the church purified, will be filled with the judgment and righteousness. Moreover, Yahweh's faithful ones have this assurance, Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength and of the salvation. For the fear of the Yahshua is his treasure. But concerning their unrepentant mighty ones, an inspiration declares, Isaiah 33:7, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly. Here we see that those who are proclaiming peace rather than the day of the Yahweh shall weep bitterly. Isaiah 33:8, for the highways lie waste, for the wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the city, he regardeth no man. In the language of the day, this verse would read, the missionary roots lie waste, the missionary himself ceases. He has broken his contract, he has despised the city, he regards no man. Isaiah 33:9. For the earth mourneth and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. For the nouns in this verse being profoundly figurative, and the time of the fulfillment yet figurative, future, we are unprepared for the making of any comments. Isaiah 33:10. Now will I rise, saith Yahshua. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. At the time, the conditions are described, materialized, and it is that Yahshua will arise and be exalted and lifted up. But unto those that are at fault, he forewarns. Isaiah 33:11, you shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. Well, that brings the end of our study. This is our contact. That's at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Zion's Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written.
Well, I'm going to the city, that's the town Zion's Hill. Joy and abundance. upside.